today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and as we begin 2015, we here at Family Talk want to cover a few topics that we feel could help you make the most out of the new year. Well, last time, we looked at the most common resolution people make, and that's getting a better handle on managing money. And today, we want to talk about another very important resolution, and that's the goal to have a stronger marriage. Recently, Dr. James Dobson, Ryan Dobson, and I were in the middle of an interview with Ryan about his book when our conversation unexpectedly turned to the characteristics that make up a successful marriage. Our conversation ended up being a great one, and I know that it will help all who are listening today. Let's get to that roundtable discussion now on today's special New Year's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I've said this many times, and some of our listeners are going to say, there, he's talking about it again. But it is a theme of my life, of what surely contributed to me as a young man. You know, before I had accomplished anything, I was in graduate school, was doing well there, but I had not yet gotten out into the workforce and started writing books and doing all those things. And she believed in me before I believed in me. And she made me believe in me. And she gave me the confidence to compete in a highly competitive world. And I said it last week to her. I would not be doing what I'm doing right now if it were not for you.
That's right.
God gave her to me. She is a marvelous woman. I get more credit than I deserve, Ryan. But your mom gets a lot of it, too, and she does deserve it.
Laura does the same thing for me, too. She believes I can do things that in my head I know I can't do, but I try it anyway because she believes I can.
People don't realize just how important a woman is to a husband's confidence.
They hold the power. I mean, they can absolutely destroy a man.
You know, it's really very much like Emerson Eggerich talks about in Love and Respect. And I love that. And I talk to my young girls who are married about love and respect and how important it is to look up to their husbands and to respect them and to honor them. Because we as wives get so much back from that, too. I mean, we're kind of selfish
people. Did you understand that early on in your relationship with your husband?
No. No, because Walt and I was very self-centered. I was in medical school. I was very driven. I was very focused.
But so was he.
He was. He was. But he's kinder than I am. But I didn't realize that. But I will tell you, Walt came to a strong faith in Christ before I did. And Walt stayed home and took care of our kids while I finished residency so that I would finish. Because when it came time for us to do residency, he said, you know, we have a child. We can't be both residents. It's not fair to her. He said, if I stop, I'll go back. But if you stop, you won't go back, which was true.
Yep.
Because I wanted to be a mom more than anything. And I said, well, really? And during those years, his faith developed and deepened. And he was Jesus to me. And ever since that, I have felt a huge sense that I owe him. I want to help him. I want to encourage him. And this sounds corny, but it's the way it is. When I wake up in the morning after 33 years of marriage, I try to think of what I can do that day to make that man's day better. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have a lot of faults and that I don't see his faults and this isn't Pollyanna stuff. But that's what love is about, is honoring another person. But he showed me how to honor because he honored me. And that, I mean, it changed my life. So all of those men out there or all those women out there who are trying to get their husbands to follow Jesus, I know what to tell them. I say, don't say a lot. Serve and love him and be quiet, and you will win him over. Because boy, Walt got me.
Isn't it?
It is scriptural.
Right out of 1 Corinthians.
But it's hard because we women want to
tell people. You know, we want to say it.
Let,
we want to convince them.
Let me see if
them.
I get this straight. Now, your husband is a very, very accomplished physician.
Yeah.
But he is a pediatrician
and an
internist.
So he's double boarded.
Was he out of his residency when he stayed home for you?
We met in medical school. He was 2 years ahead of me. We had our first child when I was a fourth-year medical student. And he worked in Cincinnati, did his internship while he was waiting for me to finish. When I graduated, we knew that we wanted to do residency. And he said, well, do I do residency? Do you do residency? Because we didn't want to do it together because, as you know, residency is about a 90-hour job a week, and you work for 3 years doing this. And he said, so why don't you go first? And this is a man who grew up with three sisters and a mother who was home full time, no brothers. And I said, well, okay. And honestly and truly, and I can say this with all my heart, I would not have finished my residency if he had not done that, because I did not have the heart to leave my child. Mm. But I knew that if she was with him, it was okay. And it was an extraordinary time in our life. And I would come home wanting to quit because it was heart-wrenching. And he would just love me, and he would just pray with me. And he'd just say, nope, you got to go back tomorrow.
Boy, that is an unbelievable love story.
Mm-hmm. It is. But you can understand.
For a guy who's ready to go into his profession, the profession of medicine, and delaying that.
See,
so that his wife can get through
and
that.
For all of the men out there who say, I can't get my wife to this and I can't get my wife to that, it's so easy. Serve her mm-hmm. and love her. And that was, boy, that was in the 1980s. And it still carries me because I feel I just adore this man. I will tell you another just real quick story. Walt was extremely kind and caring for my parents in the last days of their life, the last years of their lives. And he acted as their physicians. And I will never forget one time, my mother was living right next door to us, and she called in the middle of the night, and she was very sick. And I said, let's go over. And he said, no, you're really tired. You stay here. I'll call you when, you know, I find out what's going on with your mother. I fell back asleep, and he called the ambulance, took my mother to the hospital at 1 a.m. I heard him come back in the house at 7 a.m. He'd sat with her in the emergency room all night, changed his clothes, and went to work. And I looked at my son, who was probably 19 at the time, and I said, Walter, that's how you love your wife. You take care of her loved ones. And things like this just win your heart. They change you, and they, you know, make you want to. It's he really was Jesus to me. And you won't see him much because he's kind of a quiet man.
I'm glad I asked about that because mm-hmm. that really touches me.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, that.
Oh, I have so many stories like that he did. He sews. He made me a coat my intern year.
Did you say he sews?
Sews.
He sews.
And you've met him. He's not
a
wimpy looking guy.
I know that. Yeah. He's a pediatrician and an internist.
He's done a 50-mile marathon. He's done a 120-mile canoe marathon.
He did a 120-mile canoe race.
This guy looks like a bear.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a bear, and he's very quiet, and he's very kind. But he loves Jesus. He doesn't talk about it. I've woken up in the middle of the night, and I see the light on in his study, and he has a list of all of his patients, and he's praying for every single one by name. Mm. That's how you get your kids to pray.
Yeah.
And along this line, Dr. Meeker, he obviously did not object to your joining this organization in Colorado Springs called Family Talk.
It was his idea.
You live in northern Michigan.
Yeah, it actually was his idea, and I will tell you, he is such a man of prayer and such a good man, and he loves me so much that if he says he thinks that I should consider something, I listen. Because he doesn't often. We're partners. We built our medical practice. We love working together. We get along very, very well. And when we came out and I spoke at the gathering, the two people that I am most nervous in the whole world giving lectures in front of are Walt and you. And you were both at the gathering. But I said, Lord, you want me to do it? after I was there and he listened and he saw you and he saw my heart and he saw us interact, we were having dinner a couple nights later, and he'll never forget. He looked over at me and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I think that you have something that you could offer and you could serve and you could help them."
So it was his idea.
His idea. Now, he's never said anything like that to me before, but when he said it, I took it seriously. So I went home and prayed, and then I thought, well, if this is really God's idea, then Dr. Dobson will affirm it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still remember your outline for this day. You talked about the crazy train.
Yes.
We're all on the crazy train, going faster and faster and faster.
Yep. And I will tell you, a great day for Walt and I, a really enjoyable day for us, it sounds crazy, we don't travel all over the world or anything like that, is working in the woods and working in the yard side by side and doing our thing. And then we, you know, clean up, we go have a hamburger somewhere, and that to us is heaven.
That's
we
awesome.
Just enjoy mm-hmm. each other's company that much.
That's how my parents are.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what else they did for me? They never disparaged each other.
No,
in
never,
front of us.
Never.
Do you know I've heard my parents fight one time?
Really?
One time. And when I asked Mom about it, she denied it. It was the funniest thing. I think I was, my goodness. I had to be in my early 30s. And I was at your house here in Colorado. Yeah. And your bathroom and the basement bathroom connect via air ducts.
And trouble.
It was funny because they were in a big knockdown drag out. I mean, most people wouldn't have considered it a fight, but it was just kind of a little meh, back and forth. And ever thinking, no way, you're human. You argue. I've never heard this before. And later that day, I asked my mom, I said, "What were you and Dad fighting about this morning?" Without batting an eye, "We weren't fighting this morning." "Well, no, I heard you. I mean, it's no big deal. I find it curious. I've never heard you argue before." Dead in the face. "I don't know what you're talking about." Like, "Mom, this is not embarrassing. I'm an adult. This is okay."
Yeah. Tell me.
And absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think she was faking it. She just said,
it was nothing. Our kids are very close. Our adult children are very close. And I believe one of the reasons they're close is because we were very strict about how we speak to one another in our home. And Walt led the way. Walt has never sworn at me. He has never said cruel things to me. He has never demeaned me. And that says volumes to children. And I don't do that back to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so biblical, you know, taming of the tongue. Like James says, you tame the tongue, you tame the person. And you live that out. And just that one extraordinary act, speaking well to someone, speaking well to your spouse, changes who your children become. And then we worked with them over years. A little harder to train your kids to speak well to one another. But that is extremely important. Those very, very simple things, I think, are what the key to deepening that marital love where you really feel connected.
You know, I don't want to make our relationship sound sanguine and sugar sweet all the time. We had a discussion this morning that if you had heard down the pipe, would have called it a fight. But I came in. I was late. I wanted to get here to Family Talk at a certain time. And Shirley took a shower that I swear took 20 minutes.
We do that.
And used up most of the hot water. And I'm sitting on the bed waiting for her to come out. And so we went at each other. We were not angry at each other. It was just the way we our relationship is.
Mm-hmm. Laura and I are that way a little bit because I struggle with it. You know, I'm very passionate and I am horribly hard-headed. And if I think I'm right, I am learning to control that aspect of my temperament. Because if I feel like I'm right, there really is no other argument. Mm. Either you're right or you're wrong. My dad and I had that all my childhood growing up. If you're right, you're right. Just tell me how you're right. Prove that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. And I'll back down immediately. But if you can't, well, then maybe you're not right.
Yeah.
Now, we don't say unkind things to each other. Laura has never called me a name. I would never do that. But I get too passionate. And I know I do, and I have to work at it.
Well, that's a healthy marriage where you can express your feelings.
I've done it
and maybe strong feelings sometimes and maybe real irritation, but that's different than attacking the personhood of the other individual.
Don't do that. And I would never do that.
We have very passionate discussions in our home, very passionate with our kids. And, you know, one of the things that you and I were talking about, and I'll stop, because I, too, don't want people to get the impression that Walt and I have this magical relationship. We don't. And as I said to you, Dr. Dobson, in your office, the first 10 years I was married, I was trying to figure out what needed to be changed in Walt. The second 10 years, I tried very hard to change it. And then the third decade, I said, oh, forget it. And here's what a real turning point was for me, and I think it's very important for a lot of young women and young men out there who get so stuck in the little stuff. And you write about that in your book, and not necessarily marriage, but little things, you know, little things matter.
Yeah, let me make it clear. You're talking about wanting to believe.
Wanting to believe. Yes. Wanting to believe. And that is that every single spouse has a list of problems and, you know, issues that are a mile long that we could dwell on. Walt works too much. He's late for dinner. He's a compulsive runner. He's this, he's that. And if I started picking up on those and whining about him, I'd have a miserable relationship. But what I decided to do was pick four or five things that he was extraordinary at that really matter. And when I want to complain about how he's not this and how he's not that and he's messy and he's dirty and he leaves chainsaws in the living room, literally, chainsaws in the living room. Yeah. On my carpet, okay, then I have to remind myself, he's a godly man. He adores his family.
Yep.
He works very hard. He adores his Lord, and he's faithful. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's good enough.
Yeah. That's words to live by.
You and I were talking yesterday about the men who take care of their families. They're faithful to their families. They love their wives. They provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
They take spiritual leadership, but they're not romantic.
Mm.
And some women cannot deal with that.
Well,
and they divorce a good man because he's not good enough.
Well, he's not romantic. He's not meeting their needs. He doesn't understand them. He does this. Mm. You know what? That's not what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. I heard Beth Moore talk about that.
Yeah.
Why do you complain about good? Because you don't have great.
Exactly.
Your life is not going to look like the movies ever. Because no one's life.
Our expectations of our spouses have gotten way out of control and way out of line.
That will change your marriage. If you can put your expectations in check, change your marriage in one day.
Yeah.
Totally. We interrupted you earlier because we were talking about Walt and you said that he sows.
Yeah, that's
you know, he did a 120-mile canoe race.
Yeah.
He's done a 50-mile marathon. He's got sugar maples in
his
own sugar shack.
Yeah.
He makes his own maple syrup. He sows.
He has a lot of self-confidence.
Again, let's repeat what I said.
Okay.
He's a pediatrician. He is an internist.
Yeah.
He is a brilliant man.
Double boards.
His patients love him. Yeah. And he sows?
And he sows.
Come on.
So, shortly after Walt and I were married, we had a little four-room apartment. I trotted on down to the fabric store because I wanted to make some curtains for our living room. And Walt and I had a very quick romance and marriage. We met and married within a year.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just knew. We just knew we were made for each other. That was that. So I brought home a bunch of fabric, and I had a little sewing machine, and I sat down, and I started going through something, and I was very frustrated. And one of the things that I did not know about my new husband was that he sews very well. And so I was working on this thing, and he said, well, you want a little bit of help? And I kind of looked at him cross-eyed like, are you kidding? You know, guys like you don't help sew. And he said, yeah, sure, I'll help you out. And he sat down and made the most gorgeous curtains for living room. Well, he grew up with three sisters.
What's wrong with this story? Something,
something wrong.
Mom taught me to sew when I was really little. I can run a sewing machine.
And I will
well.
Tell you, he made me clothes when I was pregnant. So I had maternity dresses. He's made our kids' coats. But anyway, one of the most extraordinary things that he ever did for me is I was talking about how We've both finished medical school, and we were figuring out we need to leave Cincinnati. Where are we going to go? I wanted to go to Boston and do residency because that's where my family was. He wanted to stay in Ohio. Who was going to do it? And I was much more bullheaded than he. And he said, will you go first? So we went off to Milwaukee, and I was working very hard, and he was taking care of our daughter. And the fall went, and I did my internship, and I really was stressed, and Christmas time came. And we exchanged Christmas gifts the morning, right before Christmas, because we were going to go home to Boston to be with my family. And he gave me this box, and it was a beautiful box, and I opened it up. And inside the box was the most beautiful navy blue boiled wool coat. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, he shouldn't have spent this much money. We don't have that much money. You know, we've got mortgage payments. I'm not making that much, you know, and I was, you know, kind of supporting the family at that time. This is not a right. And I looked inside, and you know how coats usually have a tag in the back? Clothes have the tag in the back. Well, the tag wasn't in the back. It was kind of on the side. And I thought, well, that's a little odd that some, you know, and so, but I wore the coat.
And didn't tell you?
No. I wore the coat for a couple of weeks, and I said, you know, this is kind of odd. Where did you get this coat? Because I was wondering why they put the tag on the side, and he just looked at me, and I said, you didn't. And he said, yes, every night that you were on call, I pulled out the machine, and I put Mary to bed, and I worked on your coat.
Ugh.
Unbelievable.
And I still have
that
coat today.
That'll bring tears to your eyes.
And,
I want to see a picture of the coat.
I will bring you a picture of the coat.
Did he take a tag off something else
and
sew it in?
He did. He took it off of some designer. And I think he was being silly, but clearly he didn't know that tags go on the back. Because this is a man that in medical school cut his own hair because he didn't want to pay for a barber. Yeah, literally. But when you wear a coat that your husband has labored over while you've been at work and he has been taking care of your children, you are a different wife. And that is why today, after 33 years, the focus of my day, many days, is what can I do today to make his life better?
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, what a loving story again.
Isn't
you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of one of Dolly Parton's songs that she wrote herself about the coat of many colors, and her mother made a coat for her and lovingly sewed all of the pieces of scrap that she could find in it because they didn't have money to go buy clothing. And the other kids made fun of it, and she couldn't understand it because this was the loving gift that my mother gave to me. And she said, one is only poor if one chooses to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to work on that a little bit. That's a powerful message there. But in essence, Meg, that's what Walt was doing for
you. That's what Walt did for me. And here's the thing that was really hard for me. During my internship year, I was pretty heady. I was bossy. I loved what I was doing. I felt very good about what I was doing. I was a good resident. I was working hard. And you know what that feeling is like. When you know something and you're in charge. And here I was, a self-centered sort of bratty wife. And my husband's at home making me a coat. That humbles you. And he never said, you know what? I think you're getting a little heady. I think you need to just rein it in a little bit. No lectures. He made me a coat. And that, boy, I was never
that
the same.
That was his way of telling you that he loved you.
Exactly.
It's his way of showing it.
His way of showing it. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that guy doesn't do well?
Can he sing?
No.
All right.
Terrible singer.
We got it.
There you go.
You got it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Ryan, I've enjoyed talking to you with Dr. Meeker this program again.
And yeah.
I thought it would be helpful today to let our listeners have a kind of a window into the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're here offering advice, and we're talking about what's good and not good in relationships. And I felt it was good to kind of crack the door a little bit and let people see who the three of us are.
It's been fun.
It's been really fun. Yes.
What a great conversation on marriage we've had today. I know that I've been encouraged by the perspective of Dr. Dobson and Ryan, and I hope that you have been encouraged as well. We've been listening to a program titled Marital Success in the New Year, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about our ministry here at Family Talk, or you'd like to find other resources on how to build a successful marriage, please go to our website, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call at 877-732-6825. This is Dr. Meg Meeker wishing all of you a happy new year. Thank you so much for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.